Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I am a pastor's wife myself. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts for authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Andrena Fossolino. Andrena is a disciple, a wife, and a mom of two little ones, Daniel and David. She was born and raised in Venezuela, but for the past 10 years, she and her husband have been living in Canada, where God has called her family to plant a church and to share the gospel in their Spanish-speaking community. Her husband, JD, is the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church East in East Toronto, and Andrena joins me today to talk about planting a multicultural church. We also ended up talking about the expectations that we all feel, whether they're from ourselves or from others. So here, friends, is my conversation with Andrena Fossolino. I am super privileged to get to have you, Andrena, on my podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Christine. It's a privilege to be here. I'm so excited.
Well, tell us about how you ended up in Canada, because you're living in Toronto, but you're from Venezuela originally.
Yes. So we didn't know God had this big plans for us as a family. We knew moving to Canada that God was into something, but we didn't know it was this big for us. So when we got here, we met with a pastor that was my husband, pastor since he was a kid. And he shared a vision, a big vision, knowing the numbers and knowing how Canada is growing in immigrant and especially in Hispanic people. So he shared this big vision of planting new churches through the Toronto area. And he said he wanted to start this movement, and he thought of us as a family and my husband. So that's when we heard the church planting word. And we were like, okay, we know a lot about ministry. We know a lot about a lot of things, serving. And we used to do that back in our country. But here we are in Canada, a new country, new culture, English speaking in English. And let's plant a church in Spanish. And I was like, okay, here we are. And God started to put that on our heart that, yes, this is something that he wanted us to do. So here we are.
So here we are. So did y'all move to Canada for a different reason?
We did, actually. We moved to Canada because we do have family here. My brother actually is here, and one of my husband's sisters is here. So that was like the plan first. Let's move there where our family is. And here we are.
And then the pastor got a hold of you and was like, we need you. So you weren't in any type of formal ministry role in Venezuela, or you were?
Yes, we served back in our country. We were worship leaders, ministry. He actually studied in the seminar. We had Bible studies back in our place. We were used to being and serving others in ministry, but never thought that I was going to be a church planter's wife.
Yes.
That was new for me here in Canada when we got here.
Well, can we just pause and talk about Venezuela? Because Venezuela's been under so much, tumult, or there's so much that's been happening there for so long. And so I just wonder, can you speak to just your heart for your country?
It's hard. We moved actually to Canada before it got really messy like it is right now. We knew things were getting bad in a way, but Venezuela, it's a beautiful place. We have a culture that it's really nice, sweet, and we loved it there. So it was really hard for us to come and leave everything there and come here. We knew God had plans, like we can see it right now. But right now, leaving our country and seeing how we grew up and seeing it right now, it's super hard. It changed. It has changed completely. So it's been hard to be here and listen to everything that is going on over there, our friends, our church, what happened. So yes, it's in a difficult situation. They need our prayers.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So when you heard the word church planting, did you even know what that meant when this pastor said, we think you could do this?
Well, you know, I think we all have done this. The first thing that comes to our mind when we hear church planting is like, okay, I don't know how we're going to do that. What is that?
Yeah.
Especially as a wife, we picture the pastor's wife that we knew.
So yes.
That's the first thing that comes to our mind. And that's when we get scared because we start comparing, okay, I can't do that, or I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yes.
So I think the first thing impacts us negatively because we first think, I'm not right for that. She is right for that. I'm not that right for that. So when we heard church planting, I was scared and I said, no, I think no. And my husband was so sweet and he said, let's pray about it at least. So I didn't close the door and I didn't say, yeah, no, I'm not going to pray for that. I'm sure it's not. So I started to pray for that. And God started to do something in my heart in that moment.
That's amazing. So your goal was to plant a multicultural church. I love what I think a lot of times when we think of Canada, we don't think about the diversity that is actually there. And especially the Toronto area is so diverse. People from all over the world are coming there. And so your goal was to plant a multicultural church. I would love to know what you had in mind, you know, when you and your husband are envisioning what you hope God will do. What did having a multicultural church mean to you?
So there were a lot of expectations. We had the pastor that told us a lot about the community, Hispanic community. So we knew how Toronto looked like for us in the east or on the west. And even though we all speak Spanish, because all of our countries speak Spanish, we do have different tradition and cultures and food and different things. So first thing that came to our mind was, okay, we have to move to the east and we have to start looking for those that speak Spanish. And for us being immigrants, we knew that there was a need there for people to express themselves in Spanish, to worship God in Spanish, to pray in Spanish, to listen to the word of God in Spanish. So we thought that it was going to be, and I'm going to be completely honest here, we thought it was going to be hard to find them and to bring them here. It's not like we had to go places and just listen to someone speaking Spanish or a store that sells things that are Latin American to go there and just to find them. But there's a lot of need. That's where we came to a reality that there is the need. And when we found one, that person told the other one and the other one told the other one. And that way it was fast to create people that wanted to meet and create a community and to be able to express themselves and help others in the same situation. So we thought, okay, so it's going to be, it's not like, it's like I'm saying, it wasn't easy. I'm not saying it was all completely easy, but we thought it was going to be a little bit harder. We put a lot of expectations too, but at the end, when we got to there, we saw that one person, there was like a big need. The need was there. So
are you saying that you expected it would go slowly and it went explosively fast?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
So you didn't really have time to settle in and figure this thing out. It was, you were riding a train super quickly.
Yes. My husband did have a lot of amazing resources, right? He had amazing trainings and things that he knew. He had this pastor too that was helping him, and he knew what to expect or what not to expect or how to do certain things, right? But because everything started so quickly, it was a moment that everything, we're like, we're here, all the glory to God, but it started so, and it continues so fast. We are actually celebrating 6 years this year of church planting. So we can't believe it for us. And I'm not saying everything was easy. It sounds like I'm saying it's easy, but no, it's a process. But yes, the need was there. Yes.
Even explosive growth can feel hard. You know, I think we all kind of want that, but the reality is that's hard in its own way, right? And so I'd love to hear from you. So you have this expectation going in that it's going to be hard to find people that speak Spanish and would need this, want this, and you expected it to be slow. And so can you kind of take us to a moment where you realize, oh gosh, this is not what I thought it was going to be, and I feel, I'm just putting words in your mouth, but I would imagine I feel overwhelmed. I feel like, how do I do this? So can you walk us through those moments? What did you feel? What did you think? And how did you begin to embrace the reality of this thing is different than what I expected?
Yes. So as I said, my husband had amazing things, trainings, and I was amazed how God was using him to do all these things. I mean, church planting, it's from zero, you know? And I was like, okay, it came to a moment where I started to feel really pressure. I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? What the expectation that I brought to myself and from others too, from our culture, I started to think. And a reality is that some of our culture in our countries, we expect this pastor's family to be older, wiser, to be have more experience in life. And here we were, this young couple starting with our first kid, and they were expecting maybe more experience. And I was putting that pressure to myself a lot. And because everything went so fast, I was trying to do everything and wearing a lot of hats at the same time. So it came to a moment that I had to think what to do. Am I going to let my own expectations that I know I'm bringing to myself and the others come to a fear and just paralyze me and not do anything, or I'm going to do something about it? And that's where I said, I need help. I want help. And for me, that help looked like, okay, so they send me incredible book by you, and I took time to read it. This says, this is a church planter's what? I'm going to read this book. I took time to connect with other church planter's wife through going to a gathering or just to this Facebook group. I'm going to take time to listen to podcasts about this, and I'm going to see how they feel. And there was the moment that I understood that I wasn't alone and that we all face the same expectation in a different circumstance, because of course my culture, it's different, but we're in a different country too. So that's when I took the decision to stop listening to that and just going back to my calling, what God was calling me to do and my identity in Him. And I said, I'm going to focus in this. And that's when I started to realize everything was different for what I thought it would look like. And I knew I was wearing a lot of hats, but I knew that this is the beginning. It won't be like that. I know God will bring people that will do that, but we're starting. I knew, I listened of the experience of others. Like I said, your book helped me a lot just to say no in places that I needed to say no, or just give grace when I needed to give grace. And I started to listen to that. And yeah, and that's when everything started to change, really.
I'm so glad. That's encouraging. I also would just love for you to give voice to, I love talking to different pastors' wives in different cultures about how does your culture view the pastor's wife? So I'd love for you to speak to that. As you mentioned, the Hispanic culture, Spanish-speaking culture, and I know that encompasses a lot of different countries. So, you know, maybe the Venezuelan look at a pastor's wife, but what kind of expectations are there for a Spanish-speaking pastor's wife?
Yes, we're a culture that boundaries, it's not something that we manage a lot. Okay, so that was there. So I was too young for them. And we speak what comes to our mind. So they let me know that at the beginning. So they're like, oh, you're too young, or I don't know why I'm telling you this. But you, that's what my first experience was. And that's why I said that I had to make a choice, right? Just to believe this or do this. So boundaries is something that we don't know a lot how to manage. We're a culture that we like to have a lot of fellowship. Food, it's always around us. We I know it's a lot of work, but we like that. We like to try new food. We like to eat a lot. We like to have a lot of gatherings. So you might imagine how much work that was.
Yes.
And they expect the pastor's wife to be there every time, in everything, doing everything. But at the moment, I had to also teach them in love, and God helped me do that in love. That first of all, we were a church planting. We were starting. I had a kid at the moment too. My second one was on the way. And I had to let them know that I love to serve them and I love to do a lot of things, but I knew what God had called me to do, and not to do everything. So I had to learn how to say no. I did have to learn how to do other things, like cooking is not something that I love to do, but I enjoyed to do it just to be able to share and be with them, or to show them some love through that, because that's our tradition. That's how we like things. So yes, it's a lot of expectation from there, but it was also me.
I'm glad you highlighted that, because I think that's where we continue, at least in my own experience, where I continue to struggle with expectation is not from other people. It's from myself and what I think I should do, what I want to be doing, but my life context does not allow that at the time. And so that can be the hardest to deal with, is the self-expectation. What have you learned about that particularly?
I actually learned that I need to listen to others. I think that would be my big thing in this church planting experience. As the church grew, God has taught me so many things. I think I'm growing in the same way, learning so many things. And I'm just grateful for that. But one of the things that I learned is not to do this alone, not to think no one can understand me because I am in a different culture and they don't know how my culture is. Just to know that we all feel expectations, we all feel disappointments, we all feel hard. We have different seasons in this ministry. So not to do this alone. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned. And the second one is that I need to have my time with the Lord. That should be my priority every day. It doesn't matter if this season it's I'm busy or no. That should be my priority, because that will help me. that will make everything different. I will serve with much love. My words to my husband will be different, with my kids, with my family, in ministry, everything. So that will be something that I'm dependent on, and I know I can't do it. And I'm not going to be able to do it if I don't spend time and, you know, take care of my soul.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that is the anchor for us. That if I'm not spending time in the Word, I'm much more affected by my self-expectations or expectations of others. But when I am spending time with the Lord, I do have more of a sense of, I'm loved by God no matter what I do. I'm not earning something by performing or whatever. But also I feel His compulsion, His direction, His shepherding, His leading. And I know that more surely when I'm spending time with Him. So I appreciate you bringing that up. I'd love to talk about being in a multicultural church. I just love that. And I'd love to know what the joys are and what the challenges are of serving and ministering in this multicultural context.
So one of the win or something amazing is that we became a family, because we are all immigrants. We're most of us, we came to this country just to search for a better life for a kid. So we are alone here. We don't have family, immediate family. So we became quickly a family, and that's how we call each other. We call a family. And it was incredible to see how in the holidays or any special occasion, they wanted to get together, all the church, and we were there. I remember in my country when we had holidays or things, we're like, oh, I can't go because I have this, or I'm busy, or I'm doing this. Here, we were all together. Let's celebrate this together. Of course, with food, because that's how we are. But yeah, and that gave us the opportunity to share the gospel to others and invite them, because they like that. So they like food. They like to be together. They like to speak. And of course, they're here where they don't understand most of the things, or they have to translate everything. To be able to have a conversation in Spanish and eat something that it might be from their country or it might taste similar, it was amazing. We enjoy that a lot. We saw that a lot. So that was good and big. But one of the things that it was a little bit hard, and it continued to be a little bit hard, is that our background, it's really religious. We have Catholic background back in our country. So most of them can tell you they know God or they went to church. So they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm doing well. Yeah, I already know about this. Yeah, I already know about Jesus. But then it takes time for them to understand, oh, okay, so that's a religion. They're talking about relationship. So at the beginning, they can be, yeah, I know about that, or no, I'm Catholic. Because if I go to your church, that means I'm putting all my tradition away, and I don't want to do that. So that's something that we have to work with. We still have people that come to our church and they say they're Catholic, but they're here because they're liking and they're learning and they're reading the Word of God and they're getting to know a little bit better God. But we have that here. Mm-hmm.
That leads to a final question I want to ask you. It's just, I really want to use this podcast to brag on God and to say He's at work all across the world. And so I would love to hear just what you've seen God do there, whether it's in you or someone in your church or your community. What is God doing there?
Well, it's amazing what He's doing. I have seen, since we started, just by obeying and saying, here I am, I have seen people not just playing a new instrument, leading worship, giving a Bible study, people that were really shy to share the gospel do it. I have seen things that we talk about, maybe second generation that wanted to speak Spanish because they were born and raised here, or they speak more English. We have seen a huge family of youth group here. And God did all of that. He amazed us. We said since the beginning that we want everyone to know that only God could do this. Mm-hmm. And those things, I mean, it's amazing. Only God did it. I mean, he deserves all the glory. We just said, here I am, and we obeyed. And we saw that in others doing the same thing. So there's a huge need. And now here at church, they know that and they want to do the same. They want to go help. They see the need and they're ready. They're ready to go and help and do and share the gospel.
That's amazing. Well, I said I had one more question, but I actually have another one. Yeah. One thing that I can look back, because we ended up planting in a city that I never had heard of before we moved. Yeah. I knew nothing about it. It was a totally different culture from where I grew up in, even though it was in the United States. And so I look back and I see, oh, that makes sense why God moved us there. So you're telling us a story about that you moved from Venezuela to Canada. You did not move to plant a church, but then through circumstances, God called you to do that. Can you look back and kind of see, oh, this makes sense for us? Like, God has brought us here for a very specific time and reason and people. Can you see that? And maybe just describe for us what you see when you look at that.
Oh, yes, completely. I can see how God did everything. Incredible how he allowed us to be here. I can see that through my entire life and my husband. And I can see how he's still doing it. And I'm always saying that church planting has been the hardest thing that I have done in my entire life, but I wouldn't change it for anything, for anything. So I completely see how God is working and doing things here. And he won't stop. While we are obedient, and he will continue to do amazing things. The need is there. And we can see that this won't stop here. He will continue to do a lot of things if we are obedient, like I said.
It's so encouraging for me to talk to you and to think about. One of my favorite things is getting to talk to church planting wives and pastor's wives all across the globe, because it reminds me that I have sisters who are doing what I'm doing just somewhere else. And working with people that I'll never meet, and I don't know their culture or whatever, but God is using you, he's using me, he's using the women listening to do very significant kingdom impacting work. And so it's just been an encouragement for me to hear your story. So thank you so much for joining me today and sharing very honestly with us about how you've experienced church planting and the expectations and all that. I know the people listening have been encouraged, so thank you so much.
No, thank you, Christina. I want to say that you have been a really important part of my journey right here. As I said, when I took the decision not to let my fears paralyze me, one of the resources I got was your book. And that's where I understood that I wasn't alone in this. And to be able to read that in an honest way, you being really honest and saying everything, that made me realize that, yes, we are all facing different situations, because every church plant will look different. But that doesn't mean I have to be alone in this, and that I have to try to figure it out by myself and I don't need anyone else. No, we need each other here. And this, thank you. It's a privilege to be here and just to share my experience. I don't think I have it all together.
Well, I don't either.
Learning alone.
Yeah. Well, yes. Thank you. That's very encouraging. And I'm just grateful for your time and your insight. Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform, or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.